News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Florida, Donald Trump cast his ballot in early voting for primary races. He's now headed to North Carolina for a campaign event and to roll out his economic plan. The Trump campaign responding to allegations filed by the United Auto Workers accusing Trump and Elon Musk of violating labor laws over comments about striking workers in the X Spaces interview. ABC's Alex Perchet is in Asheville.
A Trump spokesperson was out here with a statement basically blasting that lawsuit as frivolous. He called it a shameful political stunt to erode auto worker support for the former president. And also they're pointing to the RNC, where notably Teamsters president Sean O'Brien spoke, which surprised a lot of people.
Efforts to jumpstart Gaza ceasefire talks tomorrow facing challenges. Hamas now says it won't attend negotiations set to resume, saying it's already agreed to a previous version. And Hurricane Ernesto continues to gain strength as it barrels north, that after devastating parts of Puerto Rico. This is ABC News. After only 3 years in office, a surprise announcement from Japan's prime minister.
Japan's prime minister Fumio Kishida is calling it quits. He won't seek re-election next month. Political funding scandals have rocked his party and eroded public trust. Kishida is known for his desire to beef up Japan's military and making a bold visit to embattled Ukraine in 2023. He famously declared, "Ukraine today may be East Asia tomorrow." Kishida also worked to shore up ties with South Korea amid regional tensions. His approval rate had been steadily slipping. Anthony Trotter, ABC News, Tokyo.
A new twist in the Paris Olympics controversy involving U.S. gymnast Jordan Chiles, who was stripped of her bronze medal. Documents show the head of an arbitration panel that ruled Chiles must give up her medal in favor of a Romanian gymnast was represented Romanian interests in other cases for nearly a decade. The issue could end up before a court in Switzerland. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months. Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine. Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. Wisconsin voters Tuesday turned down 2 constitutional amendments that would have limited the governor's power to spend federal money. Referendums were placed on the ballot by the Republican-controlled Wisconsin legislature. Challenge Governor Tony Evers' power to distribute billions in COVID relief money without legislative approval. Democrats said passing the amendments would delay the allocation of needed funds in emergency situations. In primary election results from Tuesday's statewide election, Eric Hovde easily defeated 2 challengers to earn the Republican nomination to run against incumbent Democrat Tammy Baldwin for her U.S. Senate seat. In primaries for the U.S. House, Tony Weed defeated State Senator Andre Jacques and former State Senator Roger Roth in the Republican primary in Wisconsin's open 8th Congressional District in Northeast Wisconsin. Weed will face Democrat Kristen Lierley in the November election to fill the seat vacated by former Congressman Mike Gallagher. In the Democratic primary in western Wisconsin's 3rd District, Rebecca Cook defeated longtime Stevens Point State Representative Katrina Shankland and Eric Wilson. Cook will face incumbent Republican Derek Van Orden in November. In state legislative races of note, State Senator Dan Knodel is a step away from returning to the Assembly after defeating incumbent State Representative Janelle Branchen in the GOP primary in the heavily Republican 24th Assembly District. In state Senate primaries, the Democratic face-off in the 16th District had Representative Melissa Ratcliffe defeating two other Assembly members, Jimmy Anderson and Samba Balde. Ratcliffe will run unopposed in November. And in the 20th Senate District, incumbent Dan Fine easily defeated former Assemblyman and one-time gubernatorial candidate Tim Ramthan. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. High temperatures today will flirt with 80 degrees as clouds are thickening and a system slides on in. Winds may gust up to 20 miles per hour and scattered showers and some storms are expected to roll in mainly after 4. As we continue to get drenched into tomorrow, too, flash flooding is possible. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Right now, 78 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Up, and what are the chances it can make progress yet this year? We'll get the answers to those questions and we'll get crop reports from Southeast Iowa and Eastern Nebraska in this week's Farmer Forum.
Live from the foothills of Hump Day via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll begin with a conversation with U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Mitchell Hora and Greg Anderson. Directly following the news, Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop. I'm the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chuck Lorre.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, Senator Grassley, fresh off a trip to the Iowa State Fair. Might have to ask him about that. He posted a couple of pictures from the Iowa State Fair on the opening day, and mm-hmm. we'll get his impression from that. And, of course, he was spent a lot of time talking with people while at the fair, and he's out on the road doing his town meetings. And the question about foreign ownership of U.S. farmland continues to come up. So okay. we're going to ask mm-hmm. him about that and try to get to the yeah. bottom line on what exactly needs to be done, what should be done, what the consequences of going too far with yep. such a policy might be. So we'll talk about all that.
In case for our new listeners, we lean into Senator Grassley. He's also a farmer, like an active farmer. Like he comes home from Washington for harvest and all this sort of, he mows his own lawn when he has time. Dude's got a farm out just, you know, there in the, what would you call it, northeastern Iowa sort of ish.
Yeah.
So he's a great resource. He's a great resource. That's all I'm saying.
No doubt. And he's got one of the coolest lawnmowers that I've ever seen.
Yes, I agree with that. Ingenuity, my friend.
You want to talk about working smarter and not harder. There it is.
That's our guy. You
that's
betcha.
Our guy. That's right. That's right.
No, we did get a little rain overnight. Lovely rain. We're sitting at about 73, 75 degrees here currently. I think it's going to heat up for a couple days here in the Constantinople.
The warmer temperatures are definitely on their way. We're only 71 degrees, and we've got some rain coming. It's going to be here before too long, but tonight looks like it could be another rough night in northeast Iowa. Yeah. All right, let's get to the news. What do you got, bud?
Well, I will start with the weather. The National Weather Service predicts heavy rainfall, strong winds, and coastal impacts to continue to impact Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands as Ernesto tracks northward. Meanwhile, a frontal system was lifting northward across the center of the nation with more showers, thunderstorms, and heavy rainfall. Heat concerns continue for the southern plains, Gulf Coast, and most of Florida. Fire weather and air quality concerns linger for the Pacific Northwest. Well, I mentioned Ernesto. Tropical storm Ernesto is on the verge of becoming a dangerous hurricane as it approaches Puerto Rico and the Caribbean. Although the storm center will pass northeast of Puerto Rico, it is expected to bring 8 to 10 inches of rain, raising the risk of flash flooding and mudslides, according to the National Hurricane Center. Residents are being urged to prepare for widespread power outages.
Yeah, it is an active season so far. Named storm number 5 is rolling through.
Well, according to a U.S. inflation report for July, inflationary pressure appears to be easing somewhat. The Consumer Price Index, or CPI, rose 2.9% year-on-year. The first time since March 2021, the CPI has been below 3%. Now, economists had anticipated that the annual inflation rate would remain steady at 3.0%, with core inflation slightly cooling to 3.2%. Factors contributing to the slowdown include easing costs for cars, airfare, and housing. Although, Chip, auto insurance costs are expected to rise.
Yeah, and the affordability issue is catching up. Therefore, it's starting to slow down some spending. But consumers continue to spend with credit. And that is a big problem. And you know what 2.9% year-on-year inflation is not? It's not 2%, which is the stated goal of the Fed. So how is lowering interest rates going to help the Fed get to the stated stated inflation goal of 2%? I don't know. There's a lot up in the air on monetary policy at this time.
Well, here's an interesting little note, Chip. The Mortgage Bankers Association report a 35% increase in refinance applications last week compared to the previous week. And get this, a 118% increase compared to the same week last year. While rates only dropped 1 basis point last week, they've fallen by 33 basis points over the past 4 weeks and are 62 basis points lower than a year ago. The Port of Los Angeles saw a record volume of goods processed last month as importers rushed to bring in holiday merchandise early. The surge was driven by efforts to avoid tariffs, disruptions from Red Sea cargo diversions, and a potential strike by East and Gulf Coast dock workers in October. The soybean market in Brazil is currently experiencing lower prices, which have been somewhat mitigated by the depreciation of the Brazilian real. This depreciation has provided Brazilian soybean farmers with a competitive edge over their U.S. counterparts by allowing them to endure lower commodity prices more effectively, as these prices are typically denominated in dollars. If the Brazilian real were to rally, it could negatively impact Brazilian soybean producers. We got to watch that dollar-real relationship there, Chip.
Yeah, absolutely, we do.
And the U.S. Department of Justice finally is considering a significant antitrust move to break up Google, following a landmark court ruling that found the company monopolized the online search market. Chip?
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are out there probably saying, it's about time. And there's other people that are saying, don't hurt my Google.
Yeah, not Google.
Yeah, my Google. All right, thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Margie Echelkamp, editor of The Scoop. Good morning, Margie.
Good morning, Chip. Good morning, everyone.
All right. Talk to me about the future of ag retail agronomy services.
Yeah, well, this really got top of mind for me recently. I just attended the Fertilizer Institute's agronomy conference here in St. Louis this week. And then I also heard from head of Nutrien Retail, Jeff Tarsi, there, and had also some interviews with leadership from Winfield United. And both of those really highlight these muddy boots scientists we have out in the field, the ag retail agronomists, and how their work could be transformed by technology. So agronomy has always been this balance, maybe this 50-50 toss-up between being a scientist and being a bit of an artist, right? Mm-hmm. And while the leaders I talk to say that the top agronomist will always have to trust their gut right? Their instincts, mm-hmm. what they know is right for a crop, what they're seeing out in the field. But very quickly, that science is going to be augmented by artificial intelligence and data-driven decisions to the point where in a very short amount of time, that 50-50 balance between art and science might be a 90-10 balance between the science and then the art. So still relying on those professionals and really what makes them so good at their jobs, but definitely being able to lean on these mounds of data and agronomic insights that we've acquired.
Yep. For those out there that are baseball fans, what we're talking about is Moneyball. And
there you go. That's a great analogy.
Yeah, making sure that the money is getting spent in the right places for the biggest returns. It's going to be a challenge and need plenty of analysis going forward. Thanks, Margie.
Thank you, Chip.
We've got Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa up next. Ben Runge is a sustainable systems agronomist for Foreground by Bayer. Ben, farmers and landowners, they've heard about carbon markets, various carbon programs. What do they need to know, and why should farmers care about the details?
Bayer has recently partnered with a consumer packaged goods company to bring in additional revenue of up to $20 an acre in states like Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, Nebraska, and Wisconsin for growers that have adopted no-till, strip-till, or cover crops on or after the fall of 2019. And we can actually offer a one-time payment of up to $48 per acre for historical practices going back to the 2020 crop year. So really now, with all these opportunities being injected into the marketplace, now is really the time to take advantage of those opportunities.
Excellent. Where can listeners go for more information, Ben?
Bayer Foreground, Foreground.com.
Thank you, Ben. That is Ben Runge, sustainable systems agronomist for Foreground by Bayer.
At Case IH, we know you work hard all year to maximize your yield at harvest. And to do that, you need a combine that works as hard as you do. That's why we built the new AF11 with more horsepower, more efficiency, and more capacity than any other combine out there. Plus, built-in automation to harvest more easily than ever before. To do more with every engine hour, you need equipment that's as good as you are. You need the best in your field. Visit your local Case IH dealer for more on the AF11.
It's time to cut costs. Your Meristem dealer has the keys. Unlock the NPK you already own with new, improved Excavator AMS powered by Microbialize technology. Excavator AMS is the first and only all-in-one nutrient release and residue breakdown product with built-in nitrogen, surfactants, and water conditioner. Take cost out of your fertilizer and adjuvant spend down. Unlock nutrition faster with Excavator AMS. Learn more and find a dealer at meristemag.com. Always more bushels for less.
Retirement can be...
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Davis Michelson and I welcome you back to the show.
We do.
Yes. And we also welcome back U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa. Senator Grassley, welcome back to AgriTalk. It's good to talk with you again.
Most of the time I have this program with you, I'm in Washington, D.C., But I'm in Iowa. The Senate isn't in session because of the Democratic extension next week, and we won't be in session until the Tuesday after Labor Day. And so I'm in Iowa holding my 99 county meetings, and I have about 12 to go, and I'll finish the 99th one for the 44th year in a row next week up in Northwest Iowa.
That is so impressive, Senator. It really is. I hope you understand how much everyone in Iowa appreciates the fact that you get out and you make the effort to get to each and every of the 99 counties each and every year. It's really testament to how much work you put into this each and every year. So we appreciate that very much. First off, since you're back in Iowa, how's the corn and soybean crops looking?
Very good. It's been 2 weeks without a rain, but compared to last year, when during the months of May to October, we only got 10 inches of rain. So far, during that same period of time, up till now, mid-August, we've had 25 inches that I have measured myself.
Yeah, well, the good news is it looks like you've got some rain moving into the west end of your county right now. So give it a little bit of time. It'll be there before you know it, okay?
Well, it'll really help the soybeans. I don't know whether the corn needs it at this point, but soybeans will fill out greater if we get a few, even a few tenths of an inch of rain. Yeah. I think it's going to make a big difference.
Yep, you're absolutely right. It sure will. Okay, let's talk about the Farm Bill, Senator. And Senator Stabenow, the chair of the Senate Ag Committee, continues to make statements that put the blame for the stalled Farm Bill on the shoulders of the GOP and Republicans. Have you had a chance to talk with the chairwoman about the Farm Bill here recently?
Not. We adjourned for August by one day, and so maybe 2 weeks into July, I had a conversation with her, and it kind of went like she's trying to compromise and work something out. But that was about what the conversation amounted to.
Okay, we continue to look for the text from the Senate Ag Committee, and we're not getting it. What's the holdup on that?
Well, the holdup is that she is not willing to reflect the same 20% increase in support prices for the commodity programs that we have, corn, soybeans, peanuts, et cetera, as the House did at about 20%. And we feel that 20% is necessary meaning we Republicans, but there's at least one Democrat that has spoken out in favor of higher support prices. Anyway, the 20% that would represent the increase in inflation for machinery parts, biodiesel, interest, seed, fertilizer, chemicals. And she has suggested some increase, I think around, maybe it's not fair for me to, I think I heard a figure of about 5% she might be interested in going. But that doesn't patch the holes that we have in the safety net for farmers, particularly for small-size farmers. Now, we got farmers that are farming 15,000, 20,000 acres. But for the farmer that's farming an average of 300 acres, which is the average farm in Iowa, or the farmers that are farming 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 acres, that doesn't reflect the reality that when natural disasters and politics and international war and international politics and all this stuff that affects the prices of a commodity as much as overproduction does, the safety net is meant to help those farmers that have nothing, that have no control over the environment they work in.
Right, right. Absolutely. That's the big reason that the safety net is there. And it's reason that so many farmers want that looked at. So is it, it's likely that we're going to see an extension of the two.
Because maybe I misled people when I said there's farmers that are farming 15, 20,000 acres. I didn't mean to imply that all these things about politics and natural disasters and everything else didn't affect them, but they have more staying power than the small and medium-sized farmers have.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Okay. So is it most likely that we're going to see an extension of the 2018 bill?
Yeah, within before September 30th, and we're in 3 weeks during September before we adjourn October for the presidential election. I expect that we'll have a continuing resolution, and my bet is it'll be part of the continuing resolution.
Okay.
But we're not going to go naked for not having any farm bill whatsoever.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. Many economists have concluded that the ag economy is in a recession already. It's being reflected in job layoffs at companies like Deere, Kinze, Bridgestone. Deere is also moving some jobs to Mexico. I've gotten some pressure from listeners. They would like to hear your reaction to Deere moving some of the jobs to Mexico. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I wish John Deere's didn't do that. But the American worker is protected to some extent now that we have the United States-Mexico-Canadian agreement, that certain wages that are paid have to be meet a certain level, and a certain amount of the workers putting together manufactured products, including tractors, cars, etc., have to be made with a certain percentage of American employers, or employees. So that's some protection that the U.S.-Mexican trade agreement gives workers that are still have jobs in the United States. But it's no, what I just said can't be comforting to workers that are unemployed because John Deere's is moving something to Mexico. I think for the most part, you don't have entire tractors coming from Mexico to the United States. You have parts of things that are made down there, like the recent thing I think they moved was making cabs down there. Those cabs will come back and be put on tractors in the United States, I have to assume. Unlike cars that come in from Mexico almost completely built.
Right, right. Okay. Another issue that's coming up a lot, and just recently, foreign-owned farmland. It sounds like that topic continues to come up as you're traveling the state. How big of a problem is it, and what do you think should be done?
Well, the Farm Bill has come up in 61 of the 80-some counties I've been in so far this year, and I expect it to come up more in the 12 I have to finish. In the meantime, Ernst and I and Fetterman wrote a letter to the Department of Agriculture that they're not adequately keeping track of the foreign-owned land in the United States, and we expect them to upgrade their statistics and records so people can go to their website and find out how much foreign land and what countries own this foreign land. Now, it's probably very much a minority of the total land in the United States at maybe 3% or less, but I support legislation that passed the Senate last year but didn't get through the House, and I expect we'll have the same issue up again this year that Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea can't buy farmland in the United States. I'm for that prohibition.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, Senator, thank you so much for your time again. Be safe. We'll talk to you again soon.
Talk to you anytime you want me. Goodbye.
All right, U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Milk markets are mostly lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins reporting from the Farm Technology Days. September milk down 8 to 21.26. October down 5 to 21.61. November steady at 21.13. December milk up a cent to 20.02. Meanwhile, in the cheese markets from today, barrels up 7 to 216, 40-pound blocks up 2 to 202, 3 trade a barrel, 6 trade a block on the day. Now cash butter down 2 to 312, 11 trades on the day. Grade A non-fat dry milk up 1 and 3 quarters to 123 and a quarter, 6 trades on the day. Dry whey steady at 56 and a quarter and no trades on the day. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets both moving higher with triple-digit gains in many of the contracts. Hog markets also moving mostly higher again. We're seeing some of those triple-digit gains as well in the contracts. A lot of this has to do with the cash markets, as we're starting to see some higher cash markets, and that's helping to support many of the livestock markets today. There's also some technical selling in the markets as well, or technical buying, rather, after the big sell-off from yesterday. August live cattle up 47 cents to 184.47. October up $1.17 to 181.92. December up $1.22 to 181.52. August feeder cattle up $1.35 to 247.82. September up 212 to 244.30. October up $1.87 to 241.80. Meanwhile, in the hog markets, August hogs up 22 cents to 90.12. October up 297 to 75.82. December up 230 to 67.05. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving mostly higher. There's some technical buying in the markets after the big sell-off from yesterday. New crop 25 corn now back to steady at 440 and a quarter. Meanwhile, new crop 25 beans up 4 and a quarter to 1023 and a quarter. September wheat now up 1 to 529 and three quarters.
Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. It is time for this week's Farmer Forum. Real quick, Davis, it's...
I gotta push the button sometimes. Yeah.
Okay.
Go on.
Yeah. The foreign ownership of U.S. farmland.
Yes.
As the senator said, it's not a huge amount, but it's not just the amount, it's the location.
Right. Yes.
And the proximity to some U.S. military bases, especially when we're talking about the Chinese ownership of U.S. farmland. That's the one that has me a bit confused.
Okay? Well, that's the thing. Because right. Canada, I think Germany is up there. You know, they own yep. significant stakes in U.S. Right. land. But right. that's it doesn't exactly seem right. to concern us nearly as much as the Chinese, and there's a reason for that.
That's right. That's right. Okay, let's get to the Farmer Forum. We've got to get Mitchell Hoare to unmute and come on aboard here. Mitchell, hey, buddy, how you doing? It's good to talk with you again. I think you might be muted, Mitch. All right, we're going to work that out. We're still trying to get Greg. Hello? Okay.
Huh? No, that was me. I said you bet.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we need to get Mitch to unmute and then get Greg on the line here, too, and get him into the conversation.
But, I got something.
Yeah, oh, go what on. Do you got?
Well, there's a little note here in the news that I didn't get to. The Panama Canal is reportedly struggling to regain the trust of traders in liquefied natural gas and food commodities after a historic drought last year forced significant restrictions on transit. We were watching that Panama Canal story, and it sounds like they've got it back into a reasonable functional level here, and yet there's this note of trust among traders in the liquefied natural gas and food commodities of maybe not wanting to use that Panama Canal.
Well, I think what they need to do is take a look at what are the conditions right now. Yeah, I saw the story that you had, and I thought to myself, wait a second, I thought the Panama Canal, it may not be fully operational, but it's better than it was 3 months ago, and they need to make that happen. They need to make it happen. All right, we've got Greg Anderson from Eastern Nebraska on the line with us. How you doing, Greg?
Hey, I'm doing great, Chip. Anytime you can see puddles in the driveway and picking up mud on country roads in mid-August, we're really thankful for that. We had a nice rain overnight.
Dude, that is so unusual for the 14th of August in Eastern Nebraska. Tell me about how the crops are looking there.
Hey, really pretty good, and we were needing this rain. We're going to need some more rain here to finish out, but this is really puts a smile on a lot of farmers' faces this morning. Eastern Nebraska, I haven't heard a lot of amounts, but there's pretty good general rain, which, as you say, is pretty unusual for this time of year, something that we really haven't seen in the last 3 or 4 years here in the eastern third of the state. But, crop conditions, unbelievable how we got out of that drought monitor this spring and early summer. I had here on my farm 23 inches of rain from April 1st to July 4th. And, through the rest of July, it was some showers, but nothing major. So we're really needing some rain. And we were living off subsoil, lower temperatures and high humidities due every morning until we're starting to get some August rains here. So I think we have a lot of potential, and as Senator Grassley said, these showers do wonders for filling out beans, making that pod development and those seed sizes bigger.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. It seems to be coming along. I know that you're a bean producer, Greg, but USDA's got a record state yield in for Nebraska at 195 bushels per acre. Does that make sense to you?
For corn, yeah. Well, Cornhuskers know how to grow corn, and a lot of it's pivot irrigated. So we'll see. I think it could probably stretch that high, which would be pretty incredible. But it'll kind of depend on grain fill here as we fill out test weights and all those type of things really put into play for corn. But the crop got in a little bit late. We had like a 2 week rain delay for over the most of the eastern third of the state there, late April, early May, right at prime planting season for both corn and beans, actually. But I think it made it up. I saw corn that grew as fast as I've ever have seen once it started shooting up there after those June rains, and it just really took off. So I don't think we're behind all that much.
Okay. All right. Very good. I know you've been out in the bean crop, putting on a good number of pods.
Yeah, I'm liking what I'm seeing. My niece and I went out over the weekend and looked at fields and did some scouting. I'm really encouraged. There's really no insect pressure, and at least good. In my area, which is really good for both corn and beans. And so that helps. These cooler days certainly help, so that the crop isn't under stress while we wait for that next rain. And so, yeah, August will tell. I'm anxious to see what your crop tour, what you find there when you come through Nebraska. I think you'll find a pretty good crop. But a few days away, we'll see even more accurately what this bean crop will be.
All right. Stay right there, Greg. Mitchell Hora down in southeast Iowa. Mitchell, welcome back. Did you pick up a rain this morning?
Always good to chat here, Chip. Looks like it's falling apart right as it's hitting the farm. I'm in the office here today, so I'll get the full report here later on. There's still a chance some more coming through. We'd take a little shot. We're sitting pretty good down here in southeast Iowa, though, but a little shot of rain would be awesome.
Well, yeah, it'd certainly help that bean crop out, no question about it. What about corn? USDA, I asked Greg this question on Nebraska. USDA came with a record yield for the state of Iowa, 209 bushels per acre. Does that seem like it's in reach?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of good corn out there. The only stuff I've seen that where the toughest spot in the state that I've seen is way up in northwest Iowa, where you got some of that, you know, early season flooding that occurred up there. So they've got some rough areas, but for the most part, there's a lot of corn going to come through Iowa, as long as we can finish out all right, and hopefully things power through to the end.
Right. Okay. Mitchell, you've got your finger on the pulse of regenerative farming and low-carbon farming. What's the vibe that you're picking up from growers? How much interest is there in adjusting production practices to lower that carbon intensity score?
Yeah, there's tremendous interest, at least in looking into carbon intensity. And if farmers are hearing about this for the first time, you need to look into carbon intensity. You need to look into the 45Z tax credit. It could have major implications for our 2024 corn production and soybeans, especially that go into biofuels, which is a lot of it. But I think a lot of farmers looking at, you know, understanding how they can lower their CI score, adopt practices like reducing tillage or adding cover crops or change up their fertilizer program. But the big issue is that we need the guidance from the IRS still. We're still waiting for the final rules, and therefore there's a lot of uncertainty as to if this is really going to work out as good as it looks it could, or is it going to fizzle? So we need that guidance, and hopefully sooner rather than later, so we can make these fall decisions.
Yeah. Mitch, the big problem that I think a lot of producers have got with this is, you said it, we're relying on the IRS and the Treasury Department to tell us what production practices are acceptable. That is leaving guys kind of scratching their head and wondering if this is something that they want to engage in, isn't it?
Well, a couple different things on that. So one, the IRS, this is a tax credit, right? 45Z is a low carbon biofuel producer tax credit for biofuel producers. And about half of their carbon footprint today is from the corn or the soybeans. What we need is for the IRS and the Department of Energy to come out with the final rules about how to quantify the carbon footprint or the carbon intensity of the grain. And today they believe that U.S. farmers have a CI score of around a 29.1 as a default. But at Continuum Ag, we've scored over 300 million bushels and found the average farmer to actually be 11.1, significantly lower carbon footprint than what we're given credit for. So in my mind, we actually have a great story to tell about low carbon ag production, low carbon biofuels, and help to avoid any potential regulation that could come down the road.
Cool. I will make contact, and we'll talk more about that Mitchell, because that's a story that we do need to get out there. Greg, the use of – Greg's very involved with the Clean Fuels Alliance America, and we've – soybeans have got a great story to tell already, don't they?
Well, we do. We sometimes lose these stories amidst the headwinds and growing pains of the industry. But nationally, we are now at 9% of the diesel pool in the whole United States of America, which is pretty incredible. Just thinking a few years ago, just being a niche market, you know, and now we're mainstream. So the fact that I like to really wave the flag on is that we're using over 1 billion pounds of soybean oil per month in the production of biodiesel and renewable diesel. And that's a huge story to tell. And that's been happening for several months in a row now.
Yep. Okay. It's a great story to tell. We're going to tell more of it when we come back. Also, guys, what is your level of farm bill frustration? Is it a big deal that we're not getting this done, or does it really not have an impact on your day-to-day operations? We'll talk about that on the Farmer Forum next.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel, and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Daily Money Management from Numbers R Us. It's all the same things an accountant does for a business, but for you. Whether it's an older loved one, a member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, Daily Money Management from Rhonda at Numbers R Us makes your financial life headache-free and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Rhonda handles bills, deposits, and payments, monitoring accounts, and providing complete transparency. Set up a free visit with Rhonda at NumbersRUs.com.
Forster and the Ad Council.
Tyler Williams is a sustainable systems agronomist for Foreground by Bayer. Tyler, net farm income is down. How is Foreground by Bayer supporting growers through this financial downturn?
Yeah, you know, we try to support growers in many ways. We're doing a lot of work with our Bayer Carbon program, and really what that does is that's a way for them, you know, growers that are doing no-till, strip-till, or cover crops to go ahead and get paid by the acre for doing those practices, and it becomes one of those revenue streams that can pay over time and sort of be consistent in a way to add that diverse revenue to the farm. And really, because it's, you know, the market's expanded over the last, you know, 3 to 4 years, we're in ways now where there's multiple opportunities for growers to participate kind of based off what fits their farm. Instead of you having to fit all of the programs, you can kind of be a little bit more flexible now with some more opportunities. And so we've known that the agronomic benefits that can come from cover crops and no-till that can then add, you know, that value maybe in other ways. And this is just kind of a more of the monetary way as opposed to maybe the organic matter and water savings kind of way.
Exactly. That's a relatively new space. But is it time? Is now the time to get signed up for a carbon program?
Yeah, I always tell growers, you know, not to wait. One, because sometimes programs fill up. But also, it's, you know, why wait? You know, take the money and the opportunity now instead of kicking it down the path. I know a lot of these programs are becoming more and more flexible for the farmer and for the farming operation. And I always tell every grower every time, you know, check out multiple programs and see what fits and what you like best. If nothing else, take a look right now.
Gotcha. Where can listeners go for more information?
Best place to go is BayerForeground.com. We have lots of agronomic support there, information, discounts, as well as that's where you find the Bayer Carbon Program, and you can sign up there.
Fantastic. Thank you, Tyler. That is Tyler Williams, Sustainable Systems Agronomist for Foreground by Bayer.
Whoa! Some things shouldn't be flat.
My tire!
But with GHX, you can maximize your acres with one flat price. While other brands sell by the bag, we sell seed by the acre to maximize your yield and profit potential. Our custom seed recommendations combine extensive product characterization and agronomic expertise to get the right product, population, and placement, all for one flat price per acre. Learn how at ghxseed.com/connect.
Protecting your nitrogen is smart. And the nitrogen granule with a polymer coating that releases in response to conditions that promote plant growth? Well, that's me. I'm the environmentally smart nitrogen granule that gives the nutrition crops need when they need it, reducing nitrogen loss and increasing nutrient availability. Imagine feeding me to your fields. Me. Now, wait a minute. Hey, can I rethink this? ESN Environmentally Smart Nitrogen Fertilizer. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the Farmer Forum. We're in the middle of it right now in a conversation with Greg Anderson from East Central Nebraska and Mitchell Hora from Southeast Iowa. Greg, I'll start with you. How big of a deal is it that the Farm Bill keeps getting pushed back?
Well, to be honest with you, Chip, I don't think about it day after day. However, right, it is a big, big deal to me. You know, as I think about this, every farm bill that when it comes up as termination, and sometimes it's extended, and then and you ultimately get a bill, there are less and less people in Congress that have ever voted on a bill like the Farm Bill. We have a higher percentage of senators and congressmen, seems like every cycle, that have not voted on a farm bill before, and they need to be educated, and we need more farm champions in there. I think of the state level when it comes to governors and so forth. We have our farmer governors, like Governor Pillen here in Nebraska, who's a farmer, Governor Parson in Missouri, et cetera. But when it comes to making federal legislation, I mean, it's a big deal. I believe our Nebraska representatives get it. They're good advocates for agriculture, but that's not true in every state. And when you put all 50 states together, it is a very, very big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. If nothing else, it shows us where agriculture is on the priority list, doesn't it, Mitch? Their willingness to continue to put this off?
Well, I think, you know, they need to get it done is my take. And on my own farm, it doesn't impact us that terrible much, but it does impact a tremendous amount of agriculture. The biggest issue, and yeah, how they're prioritizing this, is that the farm piece of this is now something like only 16% of the farm bill is actually for the farm. Like, there's not much farm left in the farm bill is the quote, right? But but nonetheless, they need to get it done. This is a big deal, and a lot of folks like it is very important. Get it done. Quit playing games, and with something that's this important, like feeding people. So they need to get it done and be able to move on. It's just at this point, it's just, I don't know. It's almost kind of embarrassing, I think, of like how long this has taken.
Go.
And just not a lot of momentum being made, I think, and not by lack of try, especially, you know, I think my senators here in Iowa pushing hard, like they're doing a great job. Our representatives, like they're doing well, but like at the end of the day, it's like, all right, people, what are we doing? Like, let's get something done.
Yep. Well, and like I said, it shows us how much attention is being paid to agriculture. And, you know, you guys, when Harris selected Minnesota Governor Walz as her running mate, my initial thought was, okay, look at that. We've got a farm state senator or a farm state, someone representing farm states in there to as the running mate, as vice president running mate. But this is the guy that not that long ago said, you know, outside of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and outside of Duluth, and outside of Mankato, well, it's mostly just cows and rocks out there. Greg, that's not the message that I want represented from rural America.
Well, it isn't when we hear statements like that. But, you know, I think people really need to realize that agriculture is still the backbone of America. We have the best food supply in the world. We're the best at what we do. We need a bigger voice. And like Mitchell said, you know, let's put the farm back in the farm bill. That's otherwise, why call it a farm bill when it's only 16% of the legislation? So I agree with Senator Grassley's comments. We do need higher support prices. I hope that's a part of it.
Yep. Okay. Mitch, higher support prices, that would help on the safety net. More demand for what we're growing is a better answer. When you look into the future, what is that answer to increase our demand?
Sustainable aviation fuel. You can take 1 gallon of ethanol, or you can take 1.7 gallons of ethanol and create a gallon of sustainable aviation fuel, but you got to have data to do it, and it's got to be low carbon intensity to do it. Chip, in the short term, I don't see prices getting a whole lot better. Like we've talked, there's a lot of corn out there. Going to have a lot of supply. I think we need to be prepared that ag economy might not be good here for the coming couple of years, and that's why I think, you know, my angle is still on 45Z, that we've seen that the average value that the farmer can bring to the table would be nearly $200 an acre, average acre of corn, for 45Z credit. Now, that's not going to the farmer. That's a tax credit for the biofuel producer, but farmer should be able to get a cut of it at least. And that, in my mind, is the biggest opportunity that we've got in the short term. But we've got to build out some markets in the long term. We're going to have to find some better, more consistent trade partners overseas, I think, too. We're going to have to expand and figure some things out.
Okay. So lowering the carbon intensity score of the corn crop produced on the production side is your angle. But in your state, Mitch, in my state, the CO2 pipelines are a highly controversial issue, and some people think that that's the answer. What's your take on that?
Yeah. So the current CI score of a gallon of ethanol across the country is about a 55 for easy math. A CO2 pipeline reduces that score by about 30 points, cutting the score in nearly half. But of a gallon of ethanol score of 55, 29 of those points is attributed to the corn. Again, about half. But farmers already today are doing much better than what we are given credit for from the IRS and the Department of Energy. We have a story to tell, and the on-farm reduction can couple with a pipeline, or can at least act as a short-term lever that we can pull on to really start decarbonizing and start some money moving.
Okay. All right. Greg, hey, buddy, thank you so much for making time for us. Travel safe. Thanks for what you're doing to support biofuels in the state and across the country, buddy.
Thank you, Chip. And globally, jet fuel is 90 billion gallon a year market. So SAF is very important.
Very huge market. Mitch, thanks for what you're doing out there and getting the word out. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, Chip.
All right. That's Greg Anderson from East Central Nebraska. Mitchell Hora from Southeast Iowa. That wraps up this week's Farmer Forum. Come back this afternoon. We've got a conversation with Craig Turner from StoneX Group here on AgriTalk.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bred to defy expectations. So it's no surprise they're getting rave reviews. And that has more than farmers talking. In fact, a grain elevator wrote, "Sweet mother of pearl, trailer after trailer of Z-Series. It's never ending. We need a break." Safe to say, everyone is feeling the impact of Z-Series soybeans. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/greatest yields.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?
Nuh-uh.
You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-611-2046. Don't lose hope.